Today, we're going to give you five simple things you can do to make actual change in your life. Because so often, we have this idea of where I want to be, who I want to be, the way I want to live, and we kind of sit right here, and inertia grabs hold, and we never make the change. What we're going to lay out is simple, doable, life-changing today on The Chris Stefanik Show. Welcome to The Chris Stefanik Show. We're here every week to give you the tools and inspiration you need to live your everyday life with joy because we love you. I'm serious. We actually do. That's why we're doing all this. Click below this video to get more love, the Daily Anchor. It's free. There's no strings attached. Just let us inspire you every day with an email that takes you like 2 minutes to read. Oh, and by the way, if you want to make all this great ministry happen, guys, we're reaching millions of people. Our core confirmation program's coming out soon. It's going to transform the spiritual trajectory of a generation, God willing. You want to be part of making all this stuff happen? Become a missionary of joy. Help us out. Put fuel in the tank. The link is below this video. Let's dive in. People overlook the basic.
They do.
The basic stuff. They want God to give spiritual solutions to basic physical, biological things.
And this is one of the reasons why I absolutely love coaching and I love being in all these different worlds is that you begin to see like, no, it is actually... it is all related because it's all Christ and like God made our bodies and like what we hear about and like the biohacking realm does make sense in the realm of trying to just be a saint and it all matters. It does. It's fascinating.
One of my chapters in my book about living joy is about engaging your body in the battle for joy, right?
Amazing.
And the theology of the body, people will take that and talk about intimacy between husband and wife. No, there's more to it.
Exactly.
Right. But then some people took that as like, you know, purely self-help. Not, it's like, we make a division between grace and nature that I don't think God makes. He's like, it all comes from me at the same time. I mean, of course, you can see the distinction, but it's all just life flowing from God. I wrote it in there about how, you know, if you put your feet in your desk, you know, if you have an open posture like that, it increases testosterone, decreases cortisol. And if you're curled up, it does the opposite.
So Amy Cuddy is the great communication theorist that did the work on that.
Yeah.
About power poses. So my undergraduate degree is in communication. And anyways, Amy Cuddy was a big, I use that all the time to help people that are dealing with stress, anxiety, whatever the situation might be. So I use an acronym called MESS, M-E-S-S-S. Move, eat, sleep, silence, socialize. If you want to not have your life be a mess, move, eat, get good sleep, spend time in silence, which is prayer, meditation, Eucharistic adoration, and like have good fraternal relationships, socialize. M-E-S-S-S-S.
That's beautiful. I often ask people like if they feel like a mess, are you praying and working out? Let's baseline. Let's check the baseline.
And are you sleeping?
Are you sleeping?
Talk to a teenager or a young adult. Do you move every day? Do you eat well? Do you sleep? The answer to all those is no. Well, that's why your life is a mess. And then we aren't even getting, you don't have time to silence because you're for silence and meditation and you don't have good fraternal relationships. Yeah, your life is a mess.
No, and like why are you confessing the same sexual sin every week? Well, maybe you need to deadlift. Honestly, like that might make the testosterone flow in a particular direction, you know? Or if you feel, I had a young adult come up to me after an event once. Just, I don't have any confidence. And I literally just said, try deadlifting.
That's awesome.
Right, there is a simplicity here. You can unleash parts of your brain. Just, we want God to bypass all that. And like, Lord, why am I so restless? And he's like, well, why don't you nap? And then you won't feel tweaked out all the time.
The number one disease in our world right now is comfort.
Define.
We are addicted to comfort, and nothing good comes from comfort.
Wow. Now that seems to almost go against what we were just saying about caring for your body, and yet it doesn't.
No, because it's not, because it's actually, it takes so much discipline to actually truly care for yourself.
Isn't that wild?
But we have...
That's counterintuitive.
We have actually canonized, crystallized, and said... that actually laziness is comfort, or that laziness is good, or that laziness, you know, me sleeping in and me drinking a bunch of alcohol and me eating bad food is actually me like comforting myself. No, that's horrible for you. That's toxic.
Yeah.
Sleeping in, drinking a bunch of alcohol or tons of caffeine or not hydrating or like you working and not resting is actually not good for you.
You know what? This is Acedia, big sin of our era.
Yeah.
Because people think it's a type of sloth, right? People think of sloth as just not doing stuff. And no, it's actually doing all the wrong things. So it's getting restless by doing a million things. And instead of praying, well, I'm not lazy. I'm answering emails. It's like hold on. You're lazy about spiritual things.
Going into this whole like life hacks type thing, boundaries. So one thing that I learned from Dr. Peter Malinowski is that one of the most important things to have a psychological baseline is to have boundaries.
Mm.
Boundaries in relationship, boundaries with technology, boundaries, not in a like regimented, like, but if we don't have boundaries, but you can't have boundaries without discipline. Mm. So you just mentioned earlier about, I keep committing the same sin. I keep doing that. Like, let's talk particularly about the sin that a lot of men struggle with.
Yeah.
Okay. So when people come to confession to me and they're struggling with sexual sins, particularly with technology, my first question, and it's all B's, bedroom, bathroom, or basement. Because it's always one of those rooms. Wow. Bedroom, bathroom, or basement. Those are the three B's. In fact, I preach the three B's. Like, the culture of my parish is like, everybody knows it. The three B's, bedroom, bathroom, basement. So what Blessed Father Friday, my last confession was blank, and I've struggled with this sin. I'm like, okay, bedroom, bathroom, name the place.
Wow.
And then can you make a commitment today that you're never going to take your phone back into that room?
That you're never going to go to the bathroom again. I'm kidding. But yeah, never don't bring your phone to the room. Hey friends, I want to beg you to consider becoming a missionary of joy. Click below this video and join the people who are helping this work happen. We're sharing the love and hope and joy and inspiration of Jesus with a world that desperately needs it. Through our live events, through the media that we just throw out to the world for free, through the core confirmation program that we're creating that can change the spiritual trajectory of a generation and help countless young people find their true identity in Jesus Christ. You make all that happen with a small monthly gift. Would you please consider getting on board and helping us share the love of Jesus with a hungry world? Thank you.
But the majority of people are living in the occasion of sin.
Isn't that wild?
We perpetually live in the occasion of sin, thinking somehow that I'm going to all of a sudden manifest heroic virtue to not do what I always do.
Mm.
So the question I always ask is like, does an alcoholic have alcohol in their house that's actually in recovery and not getting drunk? No, they get rid of their alcohol and they make the choice to say, I'm never going to drink again.
Mm.
And yet we live in a perpetual world of the occasion of sin. And even if it's not against the sixth or ninth commandment, when it comes to gossip and slander and detraction and negativity, which is all on the phone and the technology, having places, like I was like, what is the first part of the word bedroom, bed? What does that room exist for? Sleeping. I asked this to my teenagers, like, so do you have a vision of you and your wife, like just sitting in bed scrolling for hours as you go to bed at night? Because if you do, like, that's really gross. And they're like, oh, that's disgusting, Father. No, I don't want. Then why do you do that now?
Mm. And they do. I mean, honestly, countless married couples do that.
But I would say that none of them believe that that's actually good for their marriage.
No.
And that wasn't what they dreamt when they were in high school or in college about what their marriage would look like.
Yeah. I love the scripture when Moses, or was it Miriam, was praising God after they passed through the sea, and they say, horse and rider you've cast into the sea, right? Not only the rider who wanted to kill you, but the thing he rode in on.
Mm.
The whole thing, the whole thing. And if we're not willing to attack the horse too, I think we're kidding ourselves.
And we said this before, people have heard this probably before. If they haven't, then like just flip your phone over and you'll see an apple with a bite out of it. And we all know that is,
right.
Like, we know it. We know that it's not bringing me joy.
Yeah.
It's not making my marriage better. It's not making my interpersonal relationships better, but we won't stop.
We won't do what it takes to be the people we want to be.
Correct. That's where the boundaries are so important, and yet we don't want to set up boundaries, but we don't have the discipline to set up the boundaries. And that's where discipline in other areas helps you have discipline in other areas. So me being disciplined when it comes to working out or sleeping or eating is ultimately going to flow into me having discipline on my technology. It all matters.
But change is so dang hard, right? We're talking about being awesome, right? Yeah. Really, being the person you want to be. It takes so much intentionality and it can be so exhausting. And you see a change that you want to make, the incremental slowness to make that change, it could take years. So we got to be patient with ourselves as we go there, right? But so many of us don't actually even take the first little step. You've worked on yourself intensely. When you were sharing off camera, is it okay if I share this on camera?
I'm not sure what you're going to share. So,
how you worked with Peter Malinowski?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're a counselor every week for 6 years.
Yeah.
What gets you to the point where you actually say, "Okay, I'm not the me I want to be. I have to make a change." What gets you to that point, that breaking point? And then how do you muster the will to say, okay, we could talk about boundaries, we could talk about life hacks and exercising better, but like the difference between knowing it and saying, I'm going to actually now engage a process of change, it seems like an infinite distance for some people, right? How do you get there? You're a change agent. I mean, every confession, this is all about change and conversion. How do you get on the conversion track from the inertia track, right? An object at rest tends to stay at rest.
Yeah.
An object in motion tends to stay in motion in its wrong direction.
Yeah. So, Dr. Peter Malinowski, let's just start with that. Dr. Peter Malinowski used his best ability. He made himself available. He taught classes to a few of us priests on Saturday mornings. We would meet on Saturday mornings, and he was just teaching us basic psychology classes, and then he made himself available. He said, if any of you would like to do in-depth work, And I was a young priest, but I was hearing confessions. And when I was hearing confessions, I knew was really broken. I heard the depth of the cry of humanity saying, I'm hurt. I'm broken. I want out of this. I don't know how to get out of it. And as the priest, as I'm hearing this, it's also echoing in my own heart of, what about my own wounds? What about my own hurt? What about my own past? What about, and I mean this, it was all the Holy Spirit and the whole, because Dr. Peter Malinowski offered all this time where in my own spiritual direction, in my own prayer, where I was just like, I want to learn more about myself and how God works in that and what I'm resistant to working. And so I just said yes. And I'll be honest, like there were a lot of times where I'd be meeting with him and be like, this is such a waste of my time. Why am I doing this? And I have better things to do. And I think so much of change is just saying yes. You just have to have the ability to say, okay, I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to involve someone else. So like, no matter what you want to do in your life, if you want to change your diet or drinking or technology, or you want to start exercising, number one, make the decision. Number two, write it down. Number three, you need to talk to somebody else.
What does that look like? How does it translate? And I know you live out community your life yourself, and like you're practicing what you preach. What's it look like for you and Father Hollowell? And what should it look like for me?
Yeah, so I think in any area in your life, you know, Christ sent the apostles out in two. He didn't send them out as lone rangers, as bachelors. He sent them out in pairs. And so speaking and communicating and talking with another person about, this is the cross that I have in my life that I want to currently tack. And this is my plan to do that. I want you to know that. And I'm giving you full throttle permission to just ask me about it. Like, how's that going? How are you doing with this virtue? Or how are you doing with trying to, whatever, compliment people more often or be more positive or be more encouraging? Or how are you doing with praying a rosary every day? I'm just trying to think of like different scenarios in people's lives. But
or if I'm letting you in on my sin, like literally, like I have a small group of guys. We take James literally to confess your sins to one another. Which I don't think that was referring to the sacrament of confession in that moment, but fellowship.
Yeah.
Other places refer to the sacrament of confession. And we give each other permission, like, how you doing with
that?
It's not even awkward. It's, we have to have that.
Radical accountability.
Yeah.
So it's that, going back, it's inviting somebody else into it. You aren't meant to do this alone.
Not even priests.
Not even priests.
And I really was touching for me to, when is you, your morning prayer? Was it 5:30 in the morning? It was touching for me to see this, or 6:30.
So Father Hallowell and I, I'm very blessed to live with a brother priest. We're pastors in Solidum of four parishes, and we made a very intentional decision to wake up every single morning, and we do a holy hour together from 5:30 to 6:30. And during that time, we chant the liturgy of the hours out loud, so we pray.
I stayed in the rectory once and joined out for it.
Yeah.
Of course, it woke me up, so I had no choice.
But, we aren't meant to do it alone. And so I coach cross-country and track at a public high school. I've been doing it for 15 years. And I have found over and over and over again, when I have an athlete that wants to change, they come up to me and they're like, okay, Father, I don't want to be JV anymore. Like, I want to change. I'm like, okay. Like, number one, you admitted it. Number two, we're going to write it down. And we're going to write down a plan, and then you're giving me permission as your coach to check up on you.
And you have the accountability.
And so this is the reason why on January 1st, across the United States of America, gyms know that is when they're going to make the majority of their money for the whole year.
Huh.
But they also know that people joining a gym is radically different than people getting a personal trainer.
Hmm.
And when you have a personal trainer, you automatically are more likely to show up. You're more likely to work hard. You're more likely to do challenging things. You're more like than just showing up. Because then the majority of people that just sign up for a gym on January 1st, 3 weeks later, they never go back into the gym.
Well, that's why gym membership is hard to break, because they know their business model depends on penalties.
Exactly. But personal trainers are important. That's why community life, being with other devout people on your journey is important.
But no, this isn't a world where this is given to us.
You have to do it.
We got to put the things on ourselves.
You have to make the choice.
Even as a priest. Like St. Augustine, his renewal in his diocese is like, look, you're going to live in community now. If you don't want to do that, you're out.
Yeah.
Right? No lone rangers. You're going to pray together. They started the canons.
I lived many, many years of my priesthood by myself from 2008 until 2008 to 2021. I lived by myself. And praise God, great things happened in the parish. Praise God, I was able to use my best ability, which is availability. And I gave myself tirelessly to my people. But I can tell you that I'm a better priest now, living with a brother priest and intentionally living my priesthood with my brother, where we talk every single day. We share ministry every single day. We pray together every single day. I don't live by myself. I don't determine my schedule by myself. I don't make every choice by myself. I'm not the master of my universe.
And having to show up at 5:30 in the morning for someone else, with someone else, puts the night before in order.
Sure does.
You're not staying up drinking bourbon till 1 a.m. You're not playing video games till 2 a.m.
Correct.
Because you got to get up for your brother.
So one of the great things about is that a good morning begins with a good evening. If you want to crush your mornings, you have to crush your evenings. So if you want to get up and if you want to like practice all the things, if you want to like hydrate well and get in the sunlight and spend time in meditation and exercise, you can't have a good morning unless you've had a good evening. So like for me, like I have an alarm that goes off at 9 o'clock every single night. And that triggers me to say, no screens, done. I shut off all screens at 9 o'clock.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to set my alarm for 9 to do the same thing.
I have a second alarm clock that goes off at 9:30, and that alarm is for me to get into bed, because my goal to sleep is 9:30 to 4:30, and then I wake up and I do two holy hours from 4:30 to 6:30 every morning. So like, but I can't do that. I'm not going to have a good morning.
Wait,
unless
when do you
fall
asleep?
I have 9:30, and then I wake up at 4:30. So I have 7 hours of sleep every night.
Seven's my magic number too.
Yeah, Exodus 90. Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, I was not getting 7 hours of sleep until I first did Exodus 90, probably a decade ago.
Not many priests where I saw their bedroom in their rectory, and I will never forget the bedroom. Tell me about the bedroom and how this is a part of like that embrace of a radical life where it's like, hey, I want to be like this guy. Okay.
Yeah.
There's my role model. That's where I want to be. I'm going to have that impact every part of my life. What's your room look like, and how does that impact your mindset?
Yeah, so I'll just use one of my favorite phrases is that normal is toxic. I always like to say, like,
clearly, say that phrase again because it's awesome.
Normal is toxic. Okay. So clearly, if we just look at the church, we look at the world right now, like what's happening isn't good. It isn't working. Mm. If it did, like our churches would be overflowing. We'd be evangelizing and but it's not. So what we're doing is normal isn't working. Mm. So I embraced a devotion to St. John Vianney, who is the patron saint of all priests in the whole world. And I fell in love with him when I was in seminary, and I had the opportunity to visit his home in a small town of France called Ars, A-R-S. Yeah. And I went there 4 times as a seminarian because I was studying in England. I was studying in Europe anyways. And when you go there, you can visit the church that he preached and taught in, but you can also visit the rectory that he lived in. And they knew he was a saint when he died, so they literally just put a piece of glass over the door where his bedroom is at, and you can see his bedroom. And in his bedroom, he used to, like, Satan would attack him, and there's stories about things that happened in his bedroom, miraculous stuff. And so oftentimes when I would go on pilgrimage to ours, I would just, like, go and stare at his bedroom. And one day I was just trying to, like, think about my life as a priest, and when I was a young kid, I had Michael Jordan posters all over the place, and I had other musical artists who I'm ashamed to say they were hanging up in my bedroom, because there's this sense of the kid, like, I'm going to put up pictures of people that I want to be like.
Yeah.
I want to be like these people. And at one point I was just kind of like, gosh, like, I want to be like St. John Vianney. And then I was like, well, I know what his bedroom looks like. What if I made my bedroom look just like St. John Vianney's bedroom? And so I go to bed every single day thinking about St. John Vianney, thinking about Ars France. And I wake up and begin every single day thinking about St. John Vianney, thinking about Ars France. And St. John Vianney's only desire was the conversion of his parish.
Mm. And by the way, we're going to show right now your room. I mean, you have to think of him as you go to bed and wake up, because your room is a literal replica of John Vianney's room.
It is
room.
An exact replica. And now as a priest, I've actually been to Ars France now 7 times, which is crazy, but so blessed. Wow. But there has to come a point in our lives when we're just like, I don't want to be this way anymore. I want to be more. And I know that God's made me for more. I know that there's more in me. And I don't want to die thinking that there is more. But I just chose comfort. I chose ease. And I don't want my people to see their father not striving to be the best that he can be. Mm. And if I can inspire my children, if I can inspire my flock to strive for greatness and being a great dad, being a great mom, being a great child, then isn't that what a father's supposed to do?
Mm. And change in the world starts with change within, right?
Yes.
Governing the external city starts with governing the internal city. This is back to the Greek philosophers.
Yeah.
How do you bring that attitude of change to the world around you without steamrolling people and without burning people out? Because if there's people watching, you're like, I'm working on myself. I want my home to change. A pastor is watching. I want my parish to change. I mean, you've done incredible things with your parish that a lot of people, they look at the ideal and they think, oh, we can't get there. I'm just tired, you know? There's that funny joke, like, well, how do I get to so-and-so? Oh, you can't get there from here. No, you can get literally anywhere on earth from anywhere you're standing if you start going in that direction, right? So what are the obstacles to changing organizations, parish, family, whatever institution you find yourself in and you want to see change in? What are the big obstacles you faced or the fears you had to push through to make change in your parish? And what helps you push through? I mean, you, dude, your parish, you have 9 seminarians. You have a coffee shop. You have two places with adoration?
Yeah.
You have a couple of parishes. You have 2 perpetual adoration?
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen by accident. It also doesn't happen without making some people angry or jealous. You do awesome things. There's that image of if you go crabbing, you don't have to put a lid on top of the bucket of crabs. You know that? Because every time one of the crabs tries to get out, a crab that's below him will pull him down. So that's a reality you face in literally any area of work or life. It's just a reality. So speak into that before we sign off.
Yeah, so I think...
Because you both have a flight to get. But yeah, 10 minutes, go.
I think the first thing is, number one, no step is too small, but also no step is too big. So perpetually be moving. Don't ever stop moving. I'm going to move in the direction of leading my people to be saints, and I'm never going to stop. So there is this sense of I'm just going to keep going, even if it's little, and I need to constantly be aware. Awareness is so important. Like, I need to be aware of my people. I need to be aware of my staff. I need to be aware of my brother priests. Like, I need to be aware, but I need to be constantly vigilant of trying to bring about, and this is where I'm going to end up, like, about bringing the vision that I have. So a question I like to ask brother priests is, when did you stop dreaming the dream that you had in seminary? Because at some point...
That applies to everybody, that question. It's beautiful.
You had a dream for your parish. You had a dream of who you were going to be as a priest. And then you got criticized. You tried two or three things and you failed. Something happened. And then you just kind of said, well, I'll just... It's okay the way that it is right now. And I'm just going to settle. Same applies to a marriage. Same applies to parenting. Same applies to your work. When did we stop dreaming? Because I can guarantee that there was a dream, but I can also guarantee that there's a time when you stopped saying that it's possible. And when we stop saying that the dream is possible, it's really when we stop living. I believe that life, like, we're all artists in certain ways, and we're all called to create something beautiful. And when we stop creating, when we stop dreaming, when we stop pushing limits, we accept comfort, we accept the norm.
We start to die inside.
But the normal is toxic. And we're not happy. And so whatever dream you had, like, go back and live it.
How do you not just get disheartened, though? Like, if you are watching, you're that pastor who tried five things, none of them worked, it's like, God, I'm tired.
I would say Jesus fell three times and he was God, but he got back up every single time and he never stopped. He always got up. And one of my favorite images of the movie The Passion of the Christ is when he falls and our Blessed Mother runs to him, and there's the flashback scene of him as a little boy. And when Mary comes up to him, if you watch that film and you watch that scene multiple times, he gets up with such strength at that moment. But he had fallen, and every single one of us, whether it's in your marriage or in your work or in an attempt to lose weight or to work on your body image or for you to wake up every morning or for you to get pornography or technology out of life, and you've failed, like, to go to Our Lady and to believe that she's going to give you the strength to get up stronger than you ever have before, and that, like, you're not done. Like, he's not done with you. Like, God isn't done with anybody. The greatest sinners will become the greatest saints, and those who have failed the most have the greatest lessons to teach us.
So, amen.
Don't ever give up.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to keep going, but that was a pretty good landing. You just stuck right there, man.
That was just two dudes talking.
I think it's the name of this particular episode.
Two dudes talking
before we have to go get a flight. We had 30 minutes after the last interview and thought, let's just keep talking. They can start rolling. I don't even care if anybody's watching at this point. That's just right. An enjoyable conversation. Name the dream. Write it down. Find someone to keep you accountable. Don't be afraid to make radical changes. And then
keep dreaming.
Keep getting up. And keep dreaming. Getting up.
And turn to Our Lady.
That's an outline for your next book.
Yeah.
You're going to have to rewatch this episode to actually write the outline down, because that just flowed.
Thank you, Jesus.
And get big. And get big. Would you lead us in prayer for people who are trying to change and getting tired?
Yeah. In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, we're your sons, we're your daughters, and we're tired. We're exhausted. We're frustrated. And we know that you see us because you're our Father, and we know that you're a good Father. And we know that your hand is on us to pull us up, to help us up, to encourage us. And Mother Mary, we know that you are our mother. You will never abandon us. You're always with us. And so with new vigor, with new strength, the power of the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. I ask that you just come upon all those who are watching today's episode that you give them the ability to start over, to begin again, to dream again, to know that new life is possible. So dear Lord, fill us with your spirit, fill us with new beginnings and new hopes. And I ask this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, who got up again and again and again for the sake of the salvation of the whole world. I ask this in his name, for he lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Love you, brother. So good to be with you.
Let's do this.
Yeah, man. Love you guys. Thank you for watching. God bless you. See you next time.